for the week of December 14th. This is Inside Renewable Energy. Welcome to the program. I'm your host, Stephen Lacey. While 2006 has proved overall to be a great year for renewables, the year for clean energy on Wall Street certainly had its ups and downs. Our financial contributor, Rob Wilder, joins us to talk about how the market treated renewable and energy efficiency stocks. Also, the American Council on Renewable Energy Phase 2 meeting in Washington, D.C. produced some positive predictions.
What I think we're seeing is a level of the players now being far beyond what it was in the past.
We'll get an update on how the conference went and when we can expect some policy recommendations for the U.S. Those stories and a roundup of the week's top news coming up on Inside Renewable Energy, brought to you with support from Sharp Solar and created by RenewableEnergyAccess.com. The U.S. renewable energy industries received an early Christmas present from Congress this past Saturday when the Senate approved a comprehensive tax bill that included important credits for wind, solar, biofuels, biomass, geothermal, and hydropower. The Tax Relief and Health Care Act of 2006 extends production tax credits, investment tax credits, residential and business solar tax credits, and many others that are vital to maintaining thriving renewable energy industries. The extensions are, however, only for another year, which still makes it difficult to plan for longer-term projects. For example, large wind farms that rely on the production tax credit may take many years to plan and get into the ground. So some developers in the early planning stages may be cautiously eyeing that expiration date of December 31st, 2008. But as Jamie Steve, legislative director at the American Wind Energy Association, says, these credit extensions are important for projects in the later stages of development and could set up longer-term extensions under a democratically controlled Congress.
Congress's timely action to extend the wind energy production tax credit an additional 12 months, 1 year out to December 31, 2008, is a huge shot in the arm for the industry. It allows continued upward growth. We're going to be looking for as long-term extension as possible under this Congress, and we do know that the incoming Democratic leadership in both the House and the Senate have identified incentivizing clean energy technologies as one of their top priorities. So we're looking forward to a strong effort toward as long as an extension as possible.
The tax credit extender package was passed by the House last Friday, and the Senate passed it the following day, which allowed lawmakers to pack up and go home, finally ending the 109th session. One of the keys to bringing more renewables to market is to increase energy conversion efficiency and thus lower cost of technology. Researchers at Spectrolab, a subsidiary of Boeing, claim to have created a concentrator photovoltaic cell with a conversion efficiency of 40.7%, which is a new record. If such efficiency can be reproduced on a large scale, Spectrolab predicts that PV costs will go down to as much as $3 per watt, with produced electricity costing about 8 to 10 cents per kilowatt hour. In this record-breaking module, glass lenses were used to concentrate sunlight onto the cells, thus increasing power output. Spectrolab is using multi-junction cells, which are cells stacked on top of each other. Each successive layer captures the sunlight that was not captured by the other cells. So by using these two methods, concentration and multi-junction, these solar cells converted much more sunlight to electricity. There's no word, though, on when this technology will become commercially available for residential and commercial applications. And in other news on increasing efficiency of energy conversion, scientists at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology created a new strain of yeast that will speed the process of making ethanol. In simple terms, by altering the transcription factors of the yeast, which control the genes, they engineered a strain that is tolerant to high concentrations of ethanol and can accelerate the fermentation of glucose into ethanol and carbon dioxide by 50%. Basically, say the researchers, this new form of yeast can create the same amount of ethanol in half the time. If this manipulated yeast is used in the production of ethanol, it could reduce the amount of time it takes to bring larger amounts of fuel to consumers. And in international news, Pakistani Prime Minister Shaukat Aziz has said that his country will try to generate 9,700 megawatts of electricity from small hydro, wind, and solar technologies over the next 25 years. Right now, renewables only account for 180 megawatts of Pakistan's energy sources. In an effort to explore environmentally sustainable options and expand access to electricity to more rural areas, Aziz said that Pakistan would create attractive investment incentives through public sector financing and donor participation. Following the announcement, the Asian Development Bank said that it would lend Pakistan $510 million to develop more renewable energy. And that's the news. For more on these stories, visit renewableenergyaccess.com. And be sure to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter. It's easy. Just click the newsletter icon in the top left corner of the homepage, and you can sign up there.
This program is brought to you by Sharp Solar, the world's leading producer of solar cells and modules. For more information, go to solar.sharpusa.com.
Our good friend and financial contributor, Rob Wilder, who is CEO and founder of Wilder Shares, joins us again on Inside Renewable Energy to talk about the year on Wall Street for renewables. Welcome back to the program, Rob. It's nice to have you here.
Thanks, Stephen. It's always a pleasure.
Well, we've only got a couple of weeks left in 2006, and by and large, it was a pretty positive year for the growth of renewable energy. But as many investors may know, clean energy stocks were pretty volatile, and that's what you warned us about last time you were on this program. So why don't you start off by giving us a broad overview of some of the ups and downs of 2006?
I'd be happy to do that. And volatility is indeed something that I think a person has to embrace if they're looking at this sector, certainly at the pure plays. So, you know, right from the starting bell, January 1st, the sector went upwards with alacrity. It really was surprising. Now, there's probably foremost among the reasons the fact that our famously oil patch president, George Bush, said America is addicted to oil. And, you know, when you hear that from a Bush-Cheney administration, you know that probably there's going to be eyeballs looking at this sector. And so what happened was ethanol moved up quickly, probably the first time, one of the rare times you'll hear cellulosic ethanol described in the State of the Union address in January. The ethanol stocks went up, but not just ethanol. Solar went up, wind went up, energy efficiency. They went up in concert. And this didn't really stop until May. And then, you know, here's again the market psychology I raised last time. In mid-May, people said, wait a minute, we're getting ahead of ourselves, I think. There was not really an underlying substantive reason for the decline, but beginning in early May, we saw a pretty dramatic pullback. So from a 40-45% increase year-to-date, we moved back through June. And really since July, for the last 6 months or so, the market, the whole sector in clean energy, has been moving sideways as defined by ECO and NEX.
Let's talk briefly about NEX. That's a new global index that you started this year. Is that correct?
Well, that's right. You know, it's sort of funny the way things come out. ECO came out in fall of 2004, and in spring 2005, a fund came out that tracks that first index. Now, way back at the start of this year, of 2006, we then came out with a global, the Wilder Hill New Energy Global Innovation Index, where we partner with New Energy Finance. The timing is such that because there's not yet a fund that tracks it, it's somewhat been off people's radar screens. But you know, we're always hopeful that that will be changing soon in the next year, where you know, we're in the process where hopefully a fund tracking it will be out fairly soon. Now, when that comes out, that allows access to the global portrait of clean energy, and I'm confident there's going to be other indexes and other funds coming out globally as well. So it's a bit of a horse race, I think, among all the index providers, but I expect ours may well be out fairly soon.
How drastically does the value of these shares in the ECO index change as the price of oil gets cheaper or more expensive?
Yeah, well, the expectation might be that we correlate closely. So oil shoots up to $60, $70 a barrel, and people might think, well, ECO should correlate directly with that. And it's tenuous, the correlation, which is actually a good thing. We don't want to, I'd rather us not correlate very closely with oil. So there was a period, for example, where oil stayed high at around 60 while ECO was declining. And you can have the flip of that. You could have oil declining as it did, for example, today. Very smartly, it just happened to have declined this day while ECO went up. And so there's only some correlation. Now, the second part, at what point is there a problem for clean energy? Because simply, oil's getting too cheap. I'd point out first that $50, certainly $60 oil, is still pretty expensive. I mean, just a few years ago, the planning was $22 to $28 a barrel. And certainly OPEC, we all remember it getting down to around $11 a barrel. What was that, 2000, 2001, 99, the cover of The Economist talking about it going far below, even $10 a barrel. So $50 a barrel in that context is dear oil. It's still expensive. On the other hand, if we're talking about a competing clean energy, renewable energy that needs $60 or $70, $50 is difficult because the planning horizon, the folks who have to put out lots of capital to build X renewable energy are saying, you know, we're not very comfortable with this renewable energy. So it's sort of a mix. Some things, thin film solar, are coming down very quickly in cost and can compete at $50. Ethanol, probably for the most part, is $50, but you've got all kinds of factors, including sugar, corn prices, for example. It's a complex question. It's surprisingly complex, but I would say, yes, as you get below $50 a barrel, that is a bearish signal for clean energy. Certainly below 40, I'd say that.
Okay, Rob, now I know you don't like to pretend like you know the future, especially for such a volatile market, but we're moving into a new year, and I'm sure that more people are going to become interested in investing in renewable energy and energy efficiency stocks. So do you have any predictions of where the market will go, say, in the first quarter of 2007 and maybe beyond that?
Well, clearly, I think it's a fairly solid guess to say a new Congress is going to change the agenda. So, you know, the issues we've been talking about in the Congress the last couple of years, gay marriage, things of that sort, I think will be pushed aside with a Democratic-controlled House and Senate. And really, you know, clean energy is going to be placed on the agenda for a number of reasons. And it's not going to be, you know, any one of these alone probably is a good reason for clean energy, but it's not going to be just one reason. I mean, you know, we can easily think about energy security being both a Democratic and a Republican issue. Climate change, traditionally favored by the Democrats, but again, they're controlling the House and Senate. And so the people who are chairing these committees, who have been out of power for 12 years, are going to want to start to point to things like the job growth that we could have in the U.S. by promoting solar power. Wind, you know, we used to be the leader globally in solar and in wind. The new chair people in this House and the Senate are going to say, what can we do through subsidies, through government aid? So we'll probably hear about the production tax credit. You all talked very well about that on this program, and it's manifestly clear we need a longer time horizon than a 1 or 2 year horizon on the PTC. So, you know, the new Congress, like I say, I think this will be part of the agenda. In some areas, we'll have this a bit of a pandering among the two parties in 2 years as they ready for the Iowa caucuses on things like ethanol. What can we do for America's farmers? But in some areas, we're going to have the Democrats and the Republicans in unison on renewable energy as a creator of jobs, you know, as a generator of good jobs and where we could lead the world. So there's a whole mix. I try not to point to specific companies, but I'm pretty bullish right now.
All right. You heard it here. Thanks a lot, Rob. We certainly appreciate you coming on the program and giving us your insight. And we hope you'll come back fairly soon and give us an update about how 2007 is going.
I appreciate it, Stephen. It's a great podcast, and I'll be back with you all soon.
Again, that's Rob Wilder. He's CEO and founder of Wilder Shares. And you are listening to Inside Renewable Energy from renewableenergyaccess.com. We now want to give you a quick update on some of the predictions coming out of the Phase 2 conference in Washington, D.C. last month. On November 29th and 30th, the American Council on Renewable Energy held its annual meeting to discuss the status of renewables in the U.S. and to make policy recommendations to lawmakers. Essentially, the various industry representatives said we could get 25% or more of our energy needs from renewables by 2025. Joining me now is an ACOR co-chair, Dan Riker. Dan is president of New Energy Capital, a company that finances renewable energy projects. And Dan was also former assistant secretary of energy for energy efficiency and renewable energy at the DOE. Now, Dan, the analysts and economists and policymakers at the Phase 2 conference predicted we could achieve this 25% by 2025 goal. Why was this conference and the predictions coming out of it so significant?
Well, what was really quite unique about this meeting was that virtually all of the different renewable energy technologies were represented, and each of them put together an estimate of what that particular technology could provide in terms of U.S. energy. So everything from wind to solar to biomass to hydropower and geothermal and on from there, biofuels, both ethanol and biodiesel. And out of that, one can see a realistic scenario over the next 15 to 20 years that would move the United States towards a pretty significant percentage of its energy coming from renewable sources. And I think what was important about the conference is that in making their estimates about the trajectory that each of these renewable energy technologies could see over the next 15 to 20 years, the representatives of the various industries talked about the policy and financial needs that they would have in moving these technology into the mainstream. So out of this conference is coming a set of policy recommendations in addition to some projections for the kind of penetration we can see for renewable energy over the next decade or two.
And so when will we see some of these policy recommendations, and when will we see maybe Congress and the President act on them?
I think your listeners should stay tuned because there'll be quite a bit of output from this conference. There's going to be a summing up of the projections across the various industries. There's going to be a set of policy recommendations, and I think this will flow into actions by the new Congress, by various states, and then upcoming in 2008, a worldwide conference in Washington looking at the potential for renewables worldwide with senior government officials from all over the planet.
Your company, New Energy Capital, funds renewable energy projects. And maybe you could speak to this. How is the amount of money flowing into renewable energy in the U.S. Changing the energy sector?
Well, what we've seen over the last few years is really an extraordinary surge in capital flowing into both renewable energy technologies and projects. We're seeing a lot more money be invested in commercializing technology and then a lot more money being invested in actually putting steel in the ground and making green electricity and green fuels. And we have mainstream investors now in the way we didn't in the past. Everyone from Goldman Sachs to John Hancock Insurance to General Electric Finance and large and small venture capital firms, hedge funds. It's really an extraordinary group of investors, including my own company, New Energy Capital, that has moved into this sector, seeing it as a way to both do well and do good at the same time.
And obviously 2006 was a big growth year for renewables worldwide. And just talking to people on this program and going to conferences around the U.S., you can definitely feel the optimism of what lies ahead for renewables. Did you feel this optimism at the Phase 2 conference?
Well, the mood was really very, very upbeat, and it goes beyond that. What I think we're seeing is a level of the players now being far beyond what it was in the past. I mean, we are seeing the captains of industry, the captains of the banking community, really seeing this as now a attractive area of investment in a way that even, you know, 6 or 8 years ago when I was in the government working on this, frankly, we didn't at that point. At that point, even that recently, this was still very much a nascent industry. Much of the support came from the government, and now this has really entered the mainstream. And what was exciting about the meeting in Washington was to not only sense the enthusiasm, but get a sense of the commitment as well. And the commitment both in terms of money and willingness to work to effect necessary policy change.
Well, we'll certainly be following these recommendations and the predictions as they get released. Dan, thanks very much for speaking with me today.
Yeah, give me a call anytime.
Dan Riker is a co-chair of the American Council on Renewable Energy, and he was former Assistant Secretary of Energy for Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy at the Department of Energy. Well, that does it for me here at Inside Renewable Energy. For additional news and information on these topics and more, visit our website at renewableenergyaccess.com. Also, if you want to send comments, questions, or story ideas, email me at podcast@renewableenergyaccess.com. Our theme music is performed by the Chibacabra. Our transition music this week was by the Cold Elf. And our ending music is by Manolo Camp. Thanks to Sharp Solar for helping bring you this program, and thanks to all of our listeners. We'll catch you next week. For Inside Renewable Energy, I'm Stephen Lacey.